path that we follow through a service. And there's reasons behind all of that, and the main one being I was looking through the text, and we are at the point in our study through the Gospel of John that we studied started all the way back in January of this year, and we said at that time that we weren't going to let the focus that usually takes place in our country, that focus and emphasis that is placed on Jesus in the month of December, is not going to be one that we're going to lose throughout the year. We wanted to focus this entire year just on the story of Jesus, His life, His teachings, His miracles, all of the different conversations that Jesus had with His disciples, with those of the world, with the Pharisees. And so we wanted to spend an entire year just focusing on the gospel. And I started looking at the text and realizing that we're right at the point where Jesus is going to be delivered into the hands of the scribes and Pharisees and eventually into the hands of the Romans. And I felt like that was a message that needed to be kind of gone through all at once, as opposed to having one sermon on Jesus' betrayal and arrest in the garden and one sermon on the suffering or the trials and the suffering of Jesus. This is what John has been bringing us to ever since he opened up this gospel. He said in the very first chapter he was going to tell us about Him who was from the beginning, who was in the beginning with God, who was God, who is God. And then in that very first chapter we have all kinds of references to what's going to happen and what we're going to read about and study about today. You remember when Jesus came to John to be baptized by Him, and John looks at Him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." In the very first chapter of this gospel, John has been pointing us to what we're about to read today. In the second chapter, Jesus is invited to go attend a feast at a wedding reception. And they ran out of wine. And Jesus' mother brings that problem and kind of lays it at Jesus' feet. And Jesus says, Why are you calling me out like this? My hour has not yet come." What hour was it that he was talking about? It's this hour. The hour that we're going to read about today. Several times throughout the Gospel of John, we see the people trying to lay hands on Jesus, but he's able to avoid them because his hour had not yet come. And today we're going to read about the time when Jesus' hour came and what that hour looked like. And what we're about to listen to are the words of someone who was there. Someone who was there in the garden. Someone whom he's not going to identify himself by name, but someone who knew the person who was keeping the door and was invited to come in. He even brought Peter into the courtyard to where they could kind of see and witness the things that were going on in the trials and the torture of Jesus. This is not third-hand information. This is not someone who made something up and it just happened to have been passed down for generations. Today we're going to read the very words of a man who was there, who saw these things that he is reporting as an eyewitness, and he wrote those things down so that you and I could come to know Jesus as the Christ, as the Son of God, and that believing we may have life in His name. And so I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit strange. You don't have to honor this request. I'm certainly not going to force you to honor this request. But I want to encourage you not to follow along in your Bibles. I want you to just listen. And just listen to the story. The way that John wrote the story. Now, this is being recorded. So you're welcomed, and I would encourage you to go back and listen to this later and follow along and make sure that I'm not making any of this stuff up, that I am just reading straight from the text. But I just want you to listen to the story and just be impacted by the Word of God, the Spirit-inspired, apostle, eyewitness Word of God that has been recorded for us to be able to come to know Jesus and to see the greatest act of love, the greatest act of mercy, the greatest measure of grace that has ever been given, the greatest glory that has ever been witnessed by man, to see Jesus Christ betrayed, suffered, crucified, and once again made alive. I'll be reading from the Gospel of John. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the ravine of the Kidron, where there was a garden in which he entered with his disciples. Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew the place, for Jesus had often met there with his disciples. Judas then, having received the Roman cohort and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. So Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." He said to them, "I am he." And Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with them. So when he had said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Therefore he again asked them, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus the Nazarene." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he, so if you seek me, let these go their way, to fulfill the word which he spoke, 'Of those whom you have given me, I lost not one.'" Simon Peter, then having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. And the slave's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" So the Roman cohort and the commander of the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him and led him to Annas first, for he was father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was expedient for one man to die on behalf of the people. Simon Peter was following Jesus, and so was another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter was standing at the door outside. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. Then the slave girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the officers were standing there, having made a charcoal fire, for it was cold, and they were warming themselves. And Peter was also with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all the Jews come together. And I spoke nothing in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who have heard what I spoke to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the officers standing nearby struck Jesus, saying, "Is that the way you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify of the wrong. But if rightly, why do you strike me?" So Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, You are not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the slaves of the high priest, being a relative of the one whose ear Peter cut off, said, Did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter then denied it again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early. And they themselves did not enter into the praetorium, so that they would not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Therefore Pilate went out to them and said, What accusation do you bring against this man? They answered and said to him, If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you. So Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. The Jews said to him, We are not permitted to put anyone to death, to fulfill the word of Jesus which he spoke, signifying by what kind of death he was about to die. Therefore Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, Are you saying this on your own initiative? Or did others tell you about me? Pilate answered, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Therefore Pilate said to him, So you are a king? Jesus answered, You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you wish then that I release for you the king of the Jews? So they cried out again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Pilate then took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and put a purple robe on him, and they began to come up to him and say, Hail, King of the Jews! And to give him slaps in the face. Pilate came out again and said to them, Behold, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him. Jesus then came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, Behold, the man! So when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify! Crucify! Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself out to be the Son of God. Therefore, when Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. And he entered into the praetorium again and said to Jesus, Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, You do not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you, and I have authority to crucify you? Jesus answered, You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin. As a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar. Therefore, when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, Behold, your king! So they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he then handed him over to them to be crucified. They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two other men, one on either side, and Jesus in between. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It was written, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." Therefore many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews were saying to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but that he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, "They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Therefore the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour the disciple took her into his own household. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Then the Jews, because it was the day of preparation, so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and of the other who was crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you also may believe. For these things came to pass to fulfill the scripture, "Not a bone of him shall be broken." Then again, another scripture says, "And they shall look on him whom they pierced." After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate granted permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus, who had first come to him by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. Therefore, because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark, and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered and saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed." Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Let's partake of the Lord's Supper together. If you're here this morning, you've had the opportunity to hear the greatest story ever told, straight from one of the men who was able to witness it with his own eyes, and to tell us in such a way that we could come to believe on Jesus. To believe on Jesus as the Son of God. And that believing in Him, we can have life, eternal life in His name. That same apostle wrote three letters that we have in our Bible. And in the first letter, in the last chapter, he talks about that eternal life that we can have. And it's a life that we don't have to wonder if we've got it. It's not something that we have to hope eventually we'll get it. But he writes to us so that we can know that we have it. And that we have it right now. And you may be sitting there this morning and thinking, I don't have it. Or I don't feel like I have it. That's not how God wants us to live. He doesn't want us to live wondering and questioning and doubting whether we are part of His family, part of His kingdom, or not. If you're here this morning and you have come to believe on Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and understand that by believing in Him you can have life in His name, and yet you've never done anything to act on that. You've never put that faith into action the way that James, the brother of Jesus, talks about in his letter. Maybe you've never been baptized and never had that opportunity to have your sins washed away and have that great moment where it's promised that we'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and He will be there dwelling inside of us and helping us to live this life that God has called on us to live. Maybe you have been baptized. Maybe you have strayed away from the Lord and you're wondering, do I have eternal life or do I not? Well, the Bible is written in such a way that we may know that we have it. And if you're here this morning and struggling with doubt or fear or worry, or you realize that you've never truly been born into the family of God, we invite you now to come to Him in faith, to believe in Jesus and to trust in Him as Lord and God the way that Thomas did once he saw Him. And Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed." You can be in that great number this morning if you come forward as we stand and sing this song to encourage you.